Okay, I need Christian and JJ and Marco and Jeff and Matthew and Jonathan right over here. One, two, three, four, five, six. Turn and face the congregation. Look at each other. Shake a hand or two. You are brothers. You are all brothers. You were born in Hebron. You were born in Hebron. You're all brothers. Now, I need Noah, Zach, Mikey, Joseph, Dr. Hagee, Dr. Watson, Don. David will excuse you for this one tonight. Derek, Pastor Al. I need all of you right here. How many we got? Two, four, six, eight. I need Matthew. You've been born again. Come over here. Marco, you've been born again. Come over here. Christian, you've been born again. Get over here. Do I have 11? Somebody count. Come on. Get with the pastor tonight. Oh, wait just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Christian, go back over there. Jacob. Jacob, get up here. Marco, go back over there. Abdiel, get up here. Amen. Matthew, you're the only one of this whole crowd that's been born again. Amen. All right. So now you see six over there, and there's 11 over here. There, you see by faith six over there. Amen. Amen. Help the preacher. Help the preacher. Amen. All right, we got 11 here. Now, what we have here are the sons of David at Hebron before he reigned over all of Israel. Now, one of you is Absalom, and one of you is Amnon. The oldest one was Amnon. Jeff, I believe that means you're Amnon. And we know about Absalom. Absalom was the long-haired one. None of you qualify. He's the one by faith, we see. Absalom is the one by faith. How did Absalom die? Got his hair caught in a tree. Absalom tried to usurp the throne from his daddy. He sat at the gate of Jerusalem and tried to win the hearts. And finally, he was killed. Who remembers who killed him? Joab. Joab. So Absalom killed Amnon. Amnon was the oldest son of David. Absalom killed him. Why did Absalom kill Amnon? Now here's some murmuring. No. He raped his sister. He raped his sister and then fell in love with her. But Absalom said, you're not going to do that to my sister. Now, we don't know how many girls that David had, but he had 11 sons in Jerusalem and he had 6 sons in Hebron. Somebody tell me how many boys he had. 17 sons. We know about Absalom. If Matthew was here, he could be Absalom, couldn't he? Yeah, amen. Tell him I missed him tonight when you see him. We know about Absalom. We know about Amnon. Who in the house feels like they're a Solomon? Nobody feels like they're Solomon. Who does? Al Bucklew. We know about Solomon then. But all the other sons of David, we know very little about. I'm deeply appreciative for the sons of David. And Jacob, I just about missed you. I don't know why I didn't see you, Jacob. Were you easing down, Jacob? We're so glad you joined us. Amen. All right, everybody may be seated. And turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. We're going to read two or three verses of Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. The Bible says, "So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel." Now, these are summation scriptures here. This particular passage is not chronological to 2 Samuel. This is a summation passage. "And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he had come from Hebron." How many sons did he have in Hebron? Six. "Also, more sons and daughters were born to David." Now, I'm sorry, ladies, but ladies weren't as important back then as men. We pray that's not true today. Amen. "Now, these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon." You were on the right side, Mr. Bucklew. Amen. "Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet." Now I want you to look at those last three: Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Now that's what I want to preach on tonight. Those three unknown sons. Now you also know there was Elishua. Elishua, he seems to be out of place with those other boys. We know in the Hebrew scriptures when you have the letters E-L-I, it's speaking about God. Anytime you see E-L, E-L, and normally you'll have an I if it's a compound word, but if you see that E-L in front of a word or E-L at the end of the word, like Bethel, means the house of God. It's speaking about God. So we want to look at tonight Elishama, Eliada, I'm getting all mixed up here, Eliphelet. We want to look at those three boys tonight and see what the Lord would say to us from those three names. Now, we know that Absalom was a usurper. Absalom tried to steal the kingdom. And we know that he's running away after the battle has been lost. David had to flee from Jerusalem. And Absalom, his hair catches up in the tree, and he's there hanging, swinging in the wind, and Joab comes along and against the desire of David kills Absalom, and he's buried in those woods. We know Solomon became a great king. Solomon, mightily used of the Lord. And Solomon was referred to as the wisest of all the kings. We don't know that much about Amnon, except he loved his sister. And he became very, very angry when, we know that Absalom loved his sister, and Amnon fell in love with Absalom's sister. And all of these were halves and halves and halves. And we're not, boy, if you ever get to the point to look at all their descendants and you get into that cousin thing, this cousin once removed, twice removed, three times removed. If you tried to do it with all of David's family, you'd be in a heap of trouble. So we don't know much about all of these boys. But those last three, especially, we know something, but it's a little bit hidden to us. in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It said about the woman at the well in John 4 and 11, you have nothing to draw with, she said to Jesus, and the well is deep, from which you have living water. And so we know that the Word of God is like living water. And we know that the Word of God can be very deep. The well can be very deep. And we know we have to get below the surface. And we know that there are so many levels to the Word of God. And we know we have to listen to the Spirit of God. And many times you will hear Pentecostal preachers preach and they say things under the anointing of the Spirit that takes us into a deeper revelation of the Word of God. And that's the case in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 16. There's a reason that those three names are there. Paul said it this way, and Paul is actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 64, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, yea, the deep things of God. And I pray you're enjoying it tomorrow. Tomorrow, reread what day tomorrow? 15. And if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't have one of the 40 days with the Holy Spirit, we want you. Are you getting anything out of this book? Is R.T. Kendall this closet Pentecostal for a number of years? Wow. Knows the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to tell us some things. So I can't hardly wait. Every morning when I get downstairs and I brew my, get my Keurig going, and I brew two cups of coffee, pour it in one cup. I always get two cups out of each pot. I'm stingy, I'm tight, yes I am, and I don't feel good to just get one little 6-ounce cup and throw it away. So when I get actually 16 ounces of coffee out of one of those little cups, and I'm sitting there, I'm reading my book. And what a blessing he's been to me over these last 14 days. But Paul said there, by the Spirit, eyes not seen nor ear heard, there are things that God is trying to tell us. And so when you read in 2 Samuel, the history of David, and you see wonderful things, you see mighty things. When you look at the life of David, some great things that he did. He killed the... I want you to go chronological order with me. The Bible says he killed the B word. He killed the bear. And he killed the lion. And he killed, and got involved in that moody king whose name was Saul. He was dodging javelins. Thank you so much. He's dodging javelins. He's dodging swords. And oh, good gracious. And even he got convicted because he cut a little piece of cloth off King Saul's. Wow. He's a great man of God. But he didn't go out to war one spring when he was supposed to go. And in the providential working of the devil, there is David looking at his iPhone and he saw something he ought not have seen. Yeah. And then he said, well, I've gone this far. He goes a step further and he ends up committing adultery. And then he goes a step further. He said, who is that man that this woman's married to? And it was one of his best soldiers by the name of Uriah. And so he has Joab send that soldier home. And so he talks to him, and he finds out with this relationship that he had had, inappropriate relationship with Bathsheba. He brings Uriah home. He talks to him a little bit. He says, you got messages from the general Joab. And okay, thank you so much for coming. Get you a good meal. In fact, I'm going to send the whole meal home with you. You go home and spend the night with your wife. And Uriah gets as far as the door and he says, I can't do this. I can't do this. Have you read that in the Bible? He said, I can't do this. My soldiers, my general is out there sleeping in tents. I can't go home and eat a big meal and sleep with my wife tonight. I can't do that. And David finds out the next day that he didn't go home. He's trying to cover his tracks. Now, this is the man after God's own heart, but he messed up. He sinned, and now he's trying to cover it up. And so he sends Uriah back with the letter. And Uriah is so honest, he never reads it. But the letter was to the general, put him in the hottest place of the battle, get him killed for me. And he carried his own death warrant and didn't even read it. Now, when we see all that is there, all that happens in his life, and these boys were born at different periods of his life. And so when he gets to the place, when Elishama is born, he named him Elishama. When Eliada was born, he named him Eliada. And then Eliphelet. When those boys were born, they were given their special name. Because in the Hebrew mind, when you name the children, you name them because of something that God is saying to you, or you name them because of something that God has done for you. You name them to remind you of the blessings of Almighty God. And so Elishama simply means God hears. Now, I got to back up and tell you, Elishua was born about the time that Nathan, the prophet, came into David. And what did Nathan, the prophet, say to David? That means you talk. What did he say? You're the man. You're the man. And Nathan, I can always count on Pastor Watson. Nathan was the prophet. And he walked in and basically David says, okay, what can I do for you? And Nathan says, God's got your number. God knows what you did last night. God knows what you're up to. You are the man. He tells him this story about the little lamb and getting another lamb. But then he says, you're the man. You're the man. And so at that point, David repents. He's a man after God's own heart. He repents. And at that point, Elishua is born a little bit after that. And David has written a song about his repentance, and that's Psalm 51. And so when Elishua is born, David names the boy Elishua, which means God has saved me. God is my source of salvation. And every time he'd see that little boy running around and he'd call his name, he remembered, God has saved me. Do you remember when God saved you? Do you remember when you were born again? Do you remember when the blood washed away your sins? Hallelujah. And every time he'd see that little boy, it reminded him when he had sung the song, have mercy on me, O God. And all that goes with Psalm 51 is powerful. It's a beautiful song. And now these other three comes along. And Elishama means God hears. And Eliada means God knows. And Eliphelet means God delivers. And so when he would see those three boys, you see, they're unknown to us, but their names speak volumes to us about the king, about this one on his journey to please God Jehovah. The little red-headed, freckle-faced boy that had to smile five smooth stones and put Goliath on his behonkus. That little boy, that little red-haired boy, that little freckle-faced boy, that little boy that put on the armor of the king and it just kind of hung on him and finally couldn't do that. That little sling, and Goliath, 9 foot, 6 inches, and then David was able to pick up the man's own sword and decapitate him. I remember when I learned what that word meant. I never knew what that word meant. It was too big a word for a country boy until Jane Mansfield had that wreck. And the newscaster, Walter Cronkite, it was, said that Jane Mansfield got decapitated last night. And I looked up at my daddy and I said, "Daddy, what happened to that woman?" And daddy said, "I don't know, ask your mama." And so I went and I said, "Mama, what happened to Jane Mansfield last night?" And mama said, "I don't know, let's look it up." And so we looked it up in the dictionary and I've never forgotten it. Jane Mansfield was decapitated in a car wreck. Some of you have no idea who Jane Mansfield, the bomb, blonde bomb before Marilyn Monroe. Do you know who Marilyn Monroe was?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We're communicating now. And so David picked up the sword and did what to Goliath? Decapitated him. And then he picked him up, took off his helmet, picked him up by the hair of his head, and walked around on display, swinging the head of the giant, little red-haired, freckle-faced boy, because God had helped him. And so through all of the rest of his journey now, through all the rest of his life, when he saw Elishama running around, it said to him, "God hears me. God hears me." When he saw Eliada running around, he knew God knows. God knows. God knows. And he remembers the words of Nathan the prophet. God knows. You can't do anything to hide from God. And when he saw Eli Follette running around, God delivers. God delivers. And the rest of his life, those three boys kept him straight. Kept him straight. And now we know him as the king who had the heart of God. So let's look at that first boy just for a moment. God hears. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:1. And these are three truths that we all know about, Marco. We all know this. God hears. God hears. God's got ears. And they say that if you could analyze it, every stone collects the sounds of all that has happened around that stone, and somehow in the future ages we'll be able to hear everything that happened around a certain stone. That a stone is like a tape that it just remembers everything. Well, God remembers everything. The Bible says, Isaiah 59:1, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." And so we see then that our God hears, but we see that our actions can stop God from hearing. Men are notorious for not hearing. I started to confess something. I don't think I will, but I sure came closer to confessing tonight. Now, Betty knows it's true. Let me move on real quickly. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, David said, God said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I know I've messed up, if I know I've sinned, if there's something that I'm doing that I'm allowing in my life, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And David, when he gets to that place later in his life that he's trying to cover something up, all of a sudden, here comes Elishama. And Elishama comes up and pulls on his coat and, Daddy. And David remembers, God hears. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's John 15:7. So Jesus hears. Jeremiah said that God said, call unto me, and I will answer, and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Dr. A.J. Gordon, one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived, he said this, if you depend upon organizations, you will get what organizations can do for you. If you depend upon eloquence, I never have. If you depend upon eloquence, you will get what eloquence will do for you. But if you, write this one down, Noah. You can preach this one, Noah. But if you depend upon prayer, you are brought face to face with God, and you will learn what God can do for you. You depend on organizations, you'll get what organizations can do. If you depend upon eloquence, you'll get what that can give you. But if you depend upon prayer, you're brought face to face with God. And then God has gotten into that thing. Isaiah also said this, as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. We have been praying for a year for laborers. We have been praying for a year for open doors. And God is opening doors. And God is sending us laborers. All you freshmen are an answer to prayer. Every one of you are an answer to prayer. We've been praying for supernatural resources. And he's sending them. We sometimes don't recognize it, but he's sending them. We have been praying for lasting fruit. And God has given us character and development in our lives. Joel said it this way. He prayed, spare the people, O God. Spare the people, O God, in Joel 2:17. And in the process of that, he tells us about the Holy Spirit. Isaiah says it this way. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Keep not silence. Give him no rest till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Isaiah 62 in verses 6 and 7. Daniel said, as I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, with sackcloth and with ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, and God sent the archangel to his rescue. What am I saying to you? God hears. God hears. God hears. And if we purge our hearts so that there's no sin or iniquity, sin and iniquity causes the computer to short circuit. But if we keep everything and all, and we keep it defragmented and keep it all as it's supposed to be, God hears. And with God hearing, God answers. Ezra said, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. I remember years ago, the first night I prayed all night long. I was in my home at Daddy and Mom's. I was a teenage boy. Betty, you remember that red carpet? I had such red carpet in my bedroom. I don't know where in the world. Daddy and Mama didn't ask me if they want what color I wanted. Don't remember them asking me. But that red would drive you crazy. But I remember one night I was so burdened. I laid down on the floor, and I've been known to pray like this a lot. Laying on the floor, spread eagle, eating the carpet. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And when I came to myself, the sun was up the next morning. I've not done that a lot in my life, but it has been done several times. Nehemiah said, when I heard, I sat down. What did he hear? He heard about Jerusalem. No wall. Jerusalem, apostate. When I heard, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then God spoke to Nehemiah and said, go build the wall. And he did it in 52 days. In the New Testament, in Ephesians, this is what we're dealing with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. David said in Psalm 34 and 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What do we need tonight? We need a little boy running around. Some of you, when you get married, need to have a little boy and name him Elishama and bring him where we can see him. And I would prefer it be a red-headed little boy like Opie Taylor, and then we can rub his head. Because if you rub the head of a red-headed boy, you're blessed. You remember Andy saying that? Barney said that? Barney told Andy. You rub the head of a little red-headed boy and you're going to be blessed. Well, God give us a reminder. Whatever it takes with David, every time he saw Elishama, God hears. God hears. God hears. Something, put it on your refrigerator if you need to. Boys, do you have a refrigerator over there? You do, don't you? Somebody get a magnet and make it into the form of God hearing, a big ear or something, and put it up there and remember, he hears. He hears. And then the Bible says when that next to the last son was born, Eliada, he named him the words that to us means God knows. God knows. Do you remember all those black and white signs that used to be by the interstate? We went through a period of time, we had the three crosses ever so often on the interstates. And then we went through a period of time that we had all these black signs with the white letters. And I remember one near Wilson, North Carolina, that said, read the book, there will be a test. Read the book. There will be a test. And I remember one near Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Where's Abigail? In North Carolina, in Rocky Mount, there was one that simply said, I know what you did last night, God. I know what you did last night, God. I've got a long list of those somewhere, and they're I like them. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 27. But the things that David has done has displeased the Lord. That's what the prophet says. And then in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so with God hearing, God also knows. There is absolutely nothing hidden from God. Now, I told you last year five things that God doesn't know. I think I ought to give a test right now. From that sermon I preached, five things that God doesn't know, and you tell me back what God doesn't know. The Bible says that God knows everything. But there are at least five things that God doesn't know. God doesn't know a person that he doesn't love. God doesn't know a person that he doesn't love. God knows everything, but he doesn't know a person that he doesn't love. God doesn't know a sin that he doesn't hate. God doesn't know any other way to get us to heaven except through Jesus Christ. God doesn't know how to proclaim Jesus except men tell it. And God doesn't know how to do miracles except through obedience and faith. You see, when David named that next to the last boy, God hears and then God knows. God knows. And then the last one was born. And when the last one was born, we look at his name, we analyze it. It simply means Eliphelet. And I know I'm not pronouncing that right. Eliphelet. But it simply means that God delivers. That God delivers. Now, I would say to you, if God knows and God hears, then we would want the last one to be named God delivers. God delivers. And when we begin to understand that just reading those three names, why, Holy Spirit, did David name those last three boys? And some of you, when you've been reading 2 Samuel, you skipped over that verse because you're like Pastor Thompson. You can't pronounce it right. So you just do like E.L. Shirey used to say in hard name, hard name, hard name. And just move on by. Well, it means something. It means something. And what I'm trying to tell you is that God delivers. And every time he saw the youngest boy, the youngest one would come up, he remembers, God has delivered me. God has delivered me. I have a friend by the name of Angel Padilla. Angel Padilla has a master's degree. Angel Padilla taught at Heritage Bible College for a number of years. For a number of years, he was the dean of men, slept in the dorm, took care of all the guys. He's been pastoring one church that I assigned him to now for 19 years. But Angel Padilla, when he was a teenager, 15, 16, and 17, he lived on the streets of Brooklyn, New York. He lived on the streets as a teenager for 3 years. He knew how to use a pistol. He knew how to use a knife. He knew how to steal. And I don't want him to tell me all the things that he's done, but the Lord brought him to a point, and it was through David Wilkerson's ministry that Angel Padilla came to know the Lord, got saved. And when I knew him, he was a man that had just gotten saved, gotten married, joined one of the churches that we planted in Charlotte, North Carolina, and ended up preaching the gospel and teaching and helping to change the lives of men and women. That was a man that when he prayed, God heard him. And when he prayed, God knew what he had done, but in spite of that, forgave him and then called him to preach and delivered him from a life of sin. And every time I see Angel, I saw him 3 weeks ago when I was preaching that camp meeting, and he came up. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. And he came up, and his first words, "Do you remember me?" I mean, he's this huge man. He's this huge, looks like a Latino. He is a Latino. He speaks Spanish fluently. I mean, he can speak a few other. He can speak some street talk, too. Yes, he can. But he came up, and he hugged me and squeezed me, and I thought the life was going to go out of me. And he had the audacity to say, "Do you know who I am?" Wow. Oh, the grace of God. You see, David reached a place. David reached a place that he had to be reminded. So he named those three boys to remind him. And though he committed adultery, though he committed murder, we see him at the end of his life, a man after God's own heart. Could it be because those three boys grew up to be young men and grew up to be men of God and reminded him, God hears. God hears. God knows. God knows. Betty has a unique gift. And I'm close to what she is, but she's much better than I am. And those three boys of ours, as they were growing up, it was amazing what those boys would do sometimes. But Betty and I, if we didn't know, we knew just to wait. Just wait. And God would deal with Nathan, and Nathan would get under conviction and tell us all that happened that his two brothers done, and he did too. But Betty could always figure it out. You see, women operate on both sides of the brain. Men one side at a time, proven fact. But women get both sides at the time. And Betty's got this thing called intuition. And those boys, she's like God. She hears. She hears everything. She knows. And she can deliver you real quickly. Oh, she can drive it right out of your heart. Yes, she can. Oh, the woman in that right hook. Or that swinging with the palm. And lift their little feet right off the floor. And they would have that stunned, shocked look on their face. Daddy, Nathan would say, Mama hit me. Daddy, Mama hit me. Well, what did you do? Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that. Daddy, Mama hit me. You see, David, those three names helped to get him to heaven. And you see, it helps us to know. It helps us to know God hears me. God hears me when I don't even utter the words. When I don't even utter the words. And I want to tell you a little secret. Pull one over on the devil sometimes and never utter the words. But in some other times, let the devil know what you're doing and declare the words. Put him in his place. God hears. And not only does he hear, he knows. He knows. You see, and he delivers. He delivers us from our fears. He delivers us from our sins. He delivers us from those emotions sometimes. And God knows what buttons the enemy is going to push. And God knows what he needs to do to unravel the system of what the enemy has laid out. He knows our frailties. And with all of that, he delivers. Herman Litchfield said something in Sunday school this morning that I wrote down. Herman said that when he and Estelle were pastoring, he said there was a man one night in prayer. Carolyn, you heard him say it. There was a man one night when the altar service was going on. He stood up and he said to the whole church, if God is drawing you, if God is speaking to you, obey. Obey. Because now I can't hear God. I can't feel God. He doesn't speak to me anymore. He doesn't draw me anymore. And I heard that and I said, I know that guy. I know that guy. But if you feel the drawing of the Spirit tonight, you thank God for that. If you feel the Lord whispering in your spirit, you thank the Lord for that. If you hear God saying to you, this is what you do. This is where you're supposed to do. Stop here at this McDonald's. Turn here and park. Go into that building. Go up and speak to that man. This is what you're supposed to do. Hear the voice of God because he hears you. He not only hears you, he knows where you are, and he will deliver. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Our first son is named Jonathan. Our second son is named David. And our third son is named Nathan, because it took Nathan to straighten the other two out. And it's amazing how they have lived up to their names. It's amazing. You see, when we carry a certain name biblically, it means something. God hears you tonight. God hears you tonight. Joseph wrote a letter this past week. Mr. Hagee read it, and I read it. It's gone in my files. It's gone in my files. It's one of the best constructed letters I've ever read in my life. And when I was sitting there reading that letter, I broke into tears. And I said, there's no way we're not going to grant this letter. It was a letter of request, but it was beautiful and wonderful. When you talk to God from the sincerity of your heart, He hears you. He hears you. He hears you. He knows where you are. He knows what you're feeling. And then remember that last, the youngest little boy, God delivers. Come on. God hears. God knows. God delivers. God hears. God knows. And God delivers. Hallelujah. He hears, so talk to Him. He hears, so talk to Him. He says in Hebrews 4, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. And then at the last verse of that chapter, He tells us that we can boldly go into the throne of God. Talk to Him right now. Ask Him something hard. Ask Him for a miracle right now. Ask Him for something you've been afraid to ask Him all your life. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. In the name of Jesus, ask Him. And then know, He knows. He knows all about, He knows it better than you do. And then know, He delivers. He delivers. He delivers. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, He delivers. Heavenly Father, hear us tonight. Heavenly Father, we prayed some prayers in this house today. We've asked You for miracles today. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. We've read scripture after scripture, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, David, Jesus. We've read several verses tonight, Lord, about what happens when we pray. You hear, You hear. Lord, help us to ask You some hard things tonight. Help us to know that You know. That You, Lord, do not allow the enemy to blind our eyes and blind our hearts that we don't know and think that You don't know all that we're about. Father, help us to know that You do know, and help us remember You deliver. You deliver. You deliver. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to Him. Talk to Him, church. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We paid $30 for that bucket, that pale bucket of dirty rocks. $30. $30. And out of that big, heavy pail of dirty rocks, we got three little plastic bags of gems. And now Papa is having to buy them back. Because they were told, this one's worth this, and this one's worth that, and this one's worth that. So they think that Papa is obligated to buy them back. Understand that sometimes things look so dirty and it's just impossible, but when you get through going to the bottom of it and the washing of the water of the Word, you get this beautiful gem, this beautiful gem of what God intended on you having all along. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Wow. If I were to start right over here, and if I were to serve all of you some truth serum, and I would ask you, everything you did this week, everything you did this week, I'm not going to do that. But God knows. But God knows. And then if I were to ask you, starting over here, everything that you really, from your inside, sometimes when the Holy Spirit prays through you, are you amazed at what you come to understand? Am I the only one that sometimes when I pray in the Spirit, and sometimes when I'm preaching and see people and the Holy Spirit says this about that person right there, it amazes me sometimes that word of knowledge that God would give. God hears. God hears and God knows. And I'm amazed at sometimes how He delivers. How He delivers. We got saved the other night, Saturday night, going to camp meeting, didn't we? I mean, that truck is in our lane and he's coming at a high rate of speed. And I don't know how we missed the truck and the van coming in from the side, and we never ran in the ditch. It was as if we went right through the truck. Am I right? It was as if we went right through the truck. And I would not allow myself to think about it until I got out of the car. Because if I would have focused on that, I would have got the shakes. And some other things might have happened. Leave it there. Amen. Amen. But that's how what God does. He delivers. Before you go tonight, would you whisper to someone a testimony? Maybe about something God has heard you pray for, or a testimony about something that God let you know that He knows, or better yet, before you go tonight, would you tell someone about how God has delivered you in a certain way? Yeah, would you do that? You have my permission to talk right now. Testify. Testify. Come on. Come on. Mikey, you're full of that stuff. You've got God's delivered.